Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44, verses 6 through 8. It's probably very familiar because it's the text that we used this morning. Isaiah chapter 44, verses 6 through 8. And the Bible reads, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. Beside me there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me. Since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show these to them. Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you that from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one." Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank you for this time, for each and every one that is here. Dear Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, dear God, that we would be edified, Lord, and you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I wanted to deal, on the subject of fear. They presented a very good message to us this morning. I just wanted to continue on and deal with a few things that maybe deal with a few personal things and deal with some things that three things that I believe will contribute to us overcoming this thing called fear. Now, all of us have heard the acronym FOSS, of fear being false evidence appearing real. That's a very popular acronym. I'm not sure if any have heard it, but false evidence appearing real, meaning that fear ultimately is a deception. So, but the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So we understand who the father of lies is, and we understand that he is able to use this thing called fear to hinder us. All of us deal with fear in some form or another. And it has the ability to hinder and even cripple us in our pursuits in life, specifically in our relationship with the Lord. How do we combat it? How do we overcome it? There are three things we should know when dealing with fear. Knowledge of the truth, knowledge of our God, and knowledge of who we are in Him. See, in order to really deal with fear, because we're all deal with it in some form or fashion. We will all face fears, and as a matter of fact, it's a part of this process of being a Christian. Fear is a natural emotion. And understand there's such thing as good fear. Part of the reason why I stayed out of trouble for the majority of my teenage years because I was afraid. Not necessarily of the police, but I was afraid of my dad. So fear can be a good thing. You're not going to poke a bear with your bare fingers because you understand there's consequences behind those things. Children don't want to touch a hot stove. It's natural to have fear. But see, when fear becomes unnatural, it is when it hinders us and it keeps us from doing the thing which God calls us to do. So understand that as God has called us, the very first thing he tells us is not to fear. Because we are, the Bible, he calls us his witnesses. If we are his witnesses, we are to be bold because our God has all power and authority. So understanding that fear, there are good types of fear, but there's a fear that will hinder you. And even naturally, we don't want fear to keep us from living our lives.
So
we must know the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verses 31 and 32, he said, if you abide in my word, then are you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus also said in John chapter 17 and verse 17, he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 160, he said, the sum of your word is truth. Now the Bible, so we understand the word of God is the absolute truth. And how else will we combat a lie or a deception other than the truth? So if we want to combat this thing called fear, which is a false evidence, we have to have the word of God, which is the truth. The truth will combat the lie every time. All we do is understand and know that this is the word of God, and it is absolutely truth. There's not a word that is not true. The Bible said it is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It is like gold refined in the fire. Every word is flawless. And that's from the scripture. So we understand the Bible also says, and he says, listen, we don't live by what? Bread alone. But every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the truth indeed shall set us free from fear. So if we want to overcome fear, the first step is we have to know that this is the truth, and we have to learn it and know it for ourselves. Also, we must know our God. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth his handiwork. We can look around us and understand that there is a God. There is a great creator, and he created all things. And not only did he create all things, but he created all things for us to enjoy. Psalm chapter 8 said he looks down upon us. He made us, and he gave us dominion over the earth. And he created all things for us to enjoy. And he created all things for us. And he created us to have life and life more abundantly. That's why Jesus came. He came that we would enjoy him, a relationship with him, and relationship and fellowship with one another. He came to break the bondages of sin and fear. So if we want to conquer fear, we have to know our God. We can't be like the heathen to even to look all around us and see all of this evidence and continue to deny him. We don't want to do that. Because again, denying the reality of God simply brings us under his wrath. So the one and the only option that we have is to know our God. And how do we come to know God? We come to know God by obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He said, it is he that keeps my commandment, it is him that is loves me, and I will love him. So we have to know our God simply by learning this word and responding to the word of God. See, the more that we respond, the better that we respond to God, the more we know him. We can make that connection. Jesus said, abide in me and let my words abide in you. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. See, we don't exist because God is the source of all life. He's the source of all things. He's the source of our breath. He's the source of our heartbeat. He's everything to us. He numbered every hair on our head. He created us for his glory. So we have to know our God. We have to understand that he is the one true God, and there is none beside him, according to the prophet Isaiah. There is none next to him. There is none like him. He is God. The scripture says in Psalm 100, know ye that the Lord, he is God. And it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for he is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. We must know our God. So, knowing the truth is just simply a matter of reading it. I'm so amazed at how ignorant people are of the scriptures. I mean, you know, professing Christians. You know, I'm a Christian. I love God, and I know the Lord, and I'm going to heaven. And then, but you ask them, you the simple basic things of salvation, they couldn't tell you. They're clueless, and it just really. It's so plain and so simple. It's just a matter of study. Too many people avoid the scriptures. Too many people cast the word of God into the fire because they don't want to deal with the truth. They love the lie more than the truth. They love sin more than they love righteousness. And it's a sad thing. So know your God. Knowing the truth will make you more effective in ministering and sharing with people. Knowing your God will make you more bold and confident when you share the message of the gospel with people. But you also have to know, and this is the third thing, you have to know who you are. Jesus called us, he referred to us as the light of the world. We are not to be set under a bushel, but set on a hill that our lights would shine. He also calls us the salt of the earth, and salt serves as a preservation. We are to salt and bring flavor to an unseasoned world. We are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. The Bible calls us a holy nation, a royal priesthood. The scripture says we are the righteousness of God in Christ. So that means through Christ we have been made right. And that means we have the right to share ourselves and our lives with others. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, it says you are all children of God. We all belong to him. So we belong to him. See, knowing these things, knowing the truth, and coming to an understanding of the truth, and knowing our God and knowing ourselves will certainly help and benefit in combating those things that would hinder us. And it's not just fear. Fear just happens to be one thing. But it's a multitude of things that would come against us. It's a multitude of things that compete for our souls. However, these three things will help us. It'll help us to strip off every weight that hinders us and run the race with patience and endurance. So we must know the truth. We must study it. We must meditate on it. The Bible says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. David said, your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So we must study it, meditate, ponder. Place it in our hearts. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. 1 Peter knowing the truth, knowing our God, and knowing who we are. And I like to refer to it as an identity crisis, when we don't know ourselves. When we can read it and we can embrace who God is and we can understand what the Bible says, but when it comes down to it, applying it to us personally, we struggle sometimes. And I'm speaking from a personal standpoint. But understanding, coming to a place where you know that you were created in the image of God, and you know that you have the right to come boldly before the throne of grace. You know that you can call upon Him at any time. Understanding that you are not righteous, not by your own power, but by His power. Understanding that you have been washed and cleansed in the blood, and you are holy in His sight through the blood of Christ. Your sins have been forgiven. You have been shown mercy. He tossed your sins into the sea of forgetfulness to remember them no more. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess. So knowing who we are, knowing who our God is, knowing His word will certainly go a long way to helping us not only walk this walk, or walk that straight and narrow, but continue to grow in our relationship with God and one another. So He says, I am God, and this is my word, and this is my instruction to you, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to come to me with all of your burdens. I want you to cast your cares upon me because I care for you. I want you to turn to me and be saved. I want you to know, stand still and know that I am God. I want you to know that I made you, and I made you for a purpose, and I created you and established you in righteousness and true holiness. I made you for, He made us for Himself. So we can have confidence, not in ourselves. Paul said, take no confidence in the flesh. Nothing that you accomplish is going to matter if it's not done in the name of the Lord. And all that you do, do in the name of the Lord, under the Lord's authority, through this word. And you will be able to do, as the Bible says, great exploits. You will be able to do great things. Because apart from Him, you can do absolutely nothing. So, God has clearly introduced Himself through nature. We look around and we see that there is a God. We look at, things like the sun and the moon and the stars and the wind and the trees, and everything in creation screams that there is a powerful God. And through the scriptures, we understand that He speaks to us through His word, because He declared in the scriptures, I am God, and beside me there is no other. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Turn to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God. Jesus said, come to me if you are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Learn of me and you will find rest for your souls. So He's calling us through His word. He calls us to know Him. He calls us to know Him, His word. And He calls us to be like Him. Now, take a look at our text. in Isaiah chapter 44. And it says, thus says the Lord God, the King of Israel, the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and the last. Meaning he is the only and the absolute authority. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, according to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 16. He is also the one, the only way to true knowledge. Psalm 147 in verse 5, it says, your understanding is infinite. And guess what? You have, as a Christian, you have access to all of the knowledge in the universe. That's an amazing thing when you think about it. But that's what we have. We have access. When we lack wisdom, the Bible says, ask of God. And what does it say? He gives liberally. He doesn't hold back. He won't hold back. Never will he hold back what is right from the righteous. I know that's the scripture. I just butchered it a little bit, but that's okay. No good thing will he withhold for them that walk uprightly. Declared. So he declares. I mean, he declares himself as God, the only true God. And he has several people throughout the ages to confirm it, and it's right, even according to this word. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. That seems to be very clear. But we could take a look at a couple of more. Job chapter 12. Starting at verse number 7, says, but now ask the beasts, and they will teach you, and the birds of air, they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this, in whose hand is the life of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? Again, it's just a confirmation that of who God is. Holy men of God spoke as they were inspired. And this is, the Bible says, all scripture is written by inspiration of God. So these men were doing nothing more than declaring what they saw. So he is. He is God, and this is his word. And so when we have all of those things and we put all of those things together, fear just seems to be so minute. And sin and all of these things that hinder us, they seem to be so minute. But we're still going to struggle because it is in our nature. And it's a part of who we are. And that's okay because we have grace. We have grace in those times when we struggle. But what we don't want to do is give up. What we don't want to do is let go of this. What we don't want to do is stop pursuing the Lord and the knowledge of Him. What we don't want to do is have our identity taken away from us, because that's what fear will do. That's what sin will do. So, wrapping up. The Bible says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And whom shall I be afraid? Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There is no fear in perfect love. But perfect love casts out fear. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. I called upon the Lord and he delivered me from all of my fears. But we do understand that it happens. We understand that Peter denied the Lord 3 times because of fear. David ran from Saul, even though he was the king. Abraham lied saying Sarah was his sister. Moses protested when God called him because of fear. Elijah ran from Jezebel even after killing 450 prophets. However, those things were exposed, and the Bible says that all the scripture was written for our learning and our admonition. And these men had to be exposed in order to see. We were exposed to their failures as well as their victories, because in that we have hope for ourselves. A lot of us admire these great men of God, but they were men. And just like us, we're humanity, and we're subject to the failures of life. So when we're dealing with fear, we must know the truth. We must know our God, and we must know ourselves. Now, there's one type of fear that, of course, we have to deal with, and that's the fear of the wrath of God. See, the Bible explains to us that when we willfully sin, the only thing that awaits us, the only thing that we have, is a fear of judgment. We look around and we live in fear of judgment, because we know, consciously, we know, just through looking around, we know by all of the evidence that's in front of us that we should obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know it's the only way to salvation. We know that this is his word. We know that he is God. We know that that we can be with him forever. And if we choose to deny that, the only thing that we have is a fear of his wrath. And his wrath is eternal. That's something we're going to have to deal with forever. So that's not something that I want, or that we want as a people. I don't think it's anyone that anyone wants. I wouldn't wish hell on my own worst enemy. So we must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must hear the word of God and respond in faith and obedience. We must confess him, be willing to confess him before men. We must also be baptized for the remission of our sins. And we must commit ourselves to living faithful before him. And he will deliver us from all fear and all evil. If there is any that have any prayer requests or any need at this time, come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.